WKABC. The great aboard.
Thank you very much. The first thing is, I must say, I have never heard anything like this crystal skull. It just is. It is something kind of blows your mind. So, as long as we're doing that, my first question would be, does Nick feel that it also can tell the future?
Should I answer that?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I think that what we're seeing deals with the future. Number one, in the visions in the skull, we see 13 skulls. And they exist in simple mathematical formulas. I don't know anything about math, so I can't get into it. But I think that if all the skulls were put together, we would have a more peaceful future, because the skulls show something in the future that has nothing to do with war, nothing to do with famine, nothing to do with... It shows a contented society. You can watch this, and you see peace that is just beautiful. It's almost like there's a love for everybody. And I would say it not only shows the future, but it shows the heavens are involved in the future. And therefore, we ought to do something about it. But who can do anything about it? I can't do anything about it. You can't do anything about it. We have to do it on a tremendously international level, because everybody is so involved in their own little games, their own little ethnic cultures or sub-ethnic cultures or national cultures or prejudices, that everything that we feel from the skull keeps giving a message out to bring all the skulls together. Even the people who own the skulls will not let you near them. The British Museum will let you near its skull. The Paris Museum will let you near its skull. I'm sure that the one in the Chrissie collection, you can't get near. You can't even see the records on it. And I can go on and on and on on how everyone has got the skull, and those who do have skulls are hiding them and not letting anybody near them. I think the skulls have to be put out in public. I think people have to be able to see them. And each person will gain from it, and the future will be a lot brighter.
You will be able to see the Mitchell Hedges skull up in San Francisco, won't you?
At the first International Crystal Congress. It will arrive on June 20th, Friday night, and it will be there June 20th, 21st, and 22nd, and it leaves on the 23rd and goes on from there. The actual Mitchell Hedges skull will be there with Annie Mitchell Hedges, who is a fantastically beautiful woman. And you'll enjoy her, and along with many, many other wonderful speakers. And I would suggest, if you can get up there, get up there.
You can see the pictures yourself as they just...
Yes, and we'll have pictures for sale. We sell sets of pictures of our actual research, and we tell you how to look in the picture and see something. We don't just sell you the picture. If you look at the picture, you may not know what you're looking for. But once we show you how to grid it, you won't need anybody to tell you how to look at it anymore.
Okay, Roger, does that help you?
Yes, it does. Gives me some insight. Thank you very much.
All right, I appreciate you being aboard tonight.
My pleasure. I always like to listen and come aboard. I was thinking this also seems to tie in with Greta Woodrow, too.
Yes, it does.
Okay, thank you.
And with the Gladdens, who will be here in about a month.
Wonderful.
Okay, thank you very much, Roger. I'm Bill Jenkins on KABC.
Four times in a portion of the people being taken to UFOs, another portion being taken into...
Yes, ma'am.
You did see that.
Yes, ma'am. I don't prophesize. I'm not a channel, and I don't get into channeling much. But, yes, it shows that nature, Mother Nature, is going to do its own job. You don't have to worry about the nuclear bomb, because Mother Nature is going to take care of everything for you, and you have to be prepared for Mother Nature.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know how often this happens. I get the feeling that it's thousands upon thousands of years. But I'm quite sure that we are faced with something that's more gigantic than any bomb we ever thought of. So we ought to stop worrying about bombs and worry about how to handle Mother Nature.
Wait, when you say thousands of years, you mean thousands of years from now?
I'm talking about thousands of years between each land change.
Oh.
So I don't know when the last one precisely happened. I would place it about 25, 30,000 years ago. In my memory bank, that's what comes up when I'm working with any crystal or with the skull, because I do a great deal of work with other crystals, and the answer always comes out that Mother Nature is going to take its own time and change everything around. We better be prepared for Mother Nature.
I see.
I don't know if that helps you.
Yes, that helped me, and I had that feeling as much, but I wanted to see, you know. And the other question I wanted to ask you is, I met this woman, and she was a clairvoyant, and she had this vision. And what the vision was, and I wanted to ask you what, how you felt about that. I really would like your advice. She had this vision that my head, my face was full of soot, and then it turned into a crystal skull. And I was wondering if you felt it was true what she said, and what would that mean? What would your feelings be on that?
Well, there is a metamorphosis that takes place. You're not the only one that's seen that or been told that. In the last year and a half, 2 years, many of the people, whether they're into crystals or not, see, for instance, the Congress is about all types of crystal uses, not only about skulls. And I deal in all types of crystals. Skulls happens to be one of my specialties. But I would say that last week I was told a similar tale. About 2.5 weeks before that, 4 people told me this story. And I'm sure Marcel Vogel has heard it. I know Rob Bomwitz has heard it. And many of the other speakers have come up against it. So what I think it means, basically, is that somewhere in your society, in your past societies, your memory banks or whatever you want to call it, you were connected with the skulls. And that you have an obligation to the skulls. And the obligation to the skulls is to bring light to the world and to bring the elements under control. That much we've learned from the skulls, that these people were able to save the societies by watching the elements, by watching the universe and the stars and stuff. And it seems all these people who were involved, who were able to come up with this information, got covered with dust, or some even said that they got covered with water or lava, molten lava, and that their heads became crystal skulls. Now, that's as far as I can go on that particular one without knowing more than I know right now. Mm-hmm. About you and about, you know, some other things.
Mm-hmm. I see. Well, later on in the show, you'll be giving your address and phone number and everything where we can get in touch with you for the information.
Sure, we'll have all of that out for you, Patty.
Okay, well, that's great. And I was just wondering, too, do you ever give private readings with the skull? That a person can go to you and pay you for a private reading where you could read the skull for the person?
No, I don't. You mean read the actual crystal skull?
Yes, for the person, like in a private reading where I could pay you to read the skull for me, in relationship to me.
No, I do private consultations, but it has nothing to do with the crystal skull. The crystal skull is the property of Anna Mitchell Hedges.
Okay, listen, we're going to have to go. Patty, thank you very much for your questions. We're going to take a break for the news at 10, but we'll be right back right after with Nick Messerino and the fabulous crystal skull. Messerino, who has spent so much time with them. And I can't wait to find out more of the fascinating things that unfolds as you look at the crystal skull. Also, we find that some fascinating things unfold whenever you take pictures of the crystal skull and then look at the pictures you took of the crystal skull. Ho is here. Ho will be our guest on Crystals here in, about a month from now?
About a month.
You were telling me during the break here that you had some slides of the skull. What happened?
Well, what had happened was is that Nick had come in to do a slideshow, and we had done 2 days. And there was one slide in particular that I was really noticing because it was a full frontal shot of the skull. And in the bottom part where the jaw was, a number of us had seen this particular scene. It was a nice spring day. You could see the sun was out. All the hills and valleys were green. There was a little walkway with a wooden fence. And it was a really nice scene.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was Saturday. Now, Sunday, Nick ran the same slides in the same order. And when that slide came up, I looked for the same scene. And what I saw, and the number of other people with me, was the exact same scene, but instead of spring, it was now the dead of winter.
Now, this seems to happen all the time, Nick.
Yes.
People take pictures of the slide of the skull and get a picture, and the next day it's a different picture, and it's the photograph that's changed.
Yeah, it's just like a haunting picture that I was explaining to you earlier. We take a picture of a room like this studio, which we did in one studio, and we got a picture of something else. And we found out that that existed before they built the studio.
Oh, hello.
You know, and it's not uncommon in Oroville to shoot houses and find something else in the picture, or shoot a room and get other people and different furniture and stuff. Well, the skull has a way of doing the same thing. It's an energy. What we're doing is We call it working with energy. We don't call it ghosts. We don't call it really skulls and crystals. We're working with the energy within the element that we're working with, and the crystal has to have one of the best elements we know that's conducive and to the vibratory rate of a human being. Now, why the crystal skull is so much more powerful, let's give you an example, simply. Last time we went to work on the crystal skull, I brought my researchers, Ron Dickerson, Sandra Bowen, and Dale Walker, and I told them I didn't want them to go near the skull. I didn't want them to look at it, I don't want them to touch it, I want them to ignore it, because we hadn't come to the ground roots of the project yet, so I didn't want to offend anyone. So, in the meantime, I took some measurements to see how much energy is coming off, and there was no energy at all. We walked right up to the skull with our meters and touched it, and nothing happened. And that satisfied me, because I'd done work with other skulls, and this one I had seen before. So about an hour or two later, I says, okay, I want someone to sit behind this guy. I don't want you to touch it. I don't want you to do nothing. I just want you to look at it. Well, we took range readings again, and we jumped 20 feet. A minute later, we were 40 feet. A minute later, we were outside on the street. 5 minutes later, we were going down the street, still picking up energy. So I yelled up, touched the skull, and had this person put their hands, one of the researchers, put their hands on the skull and concentrate on visualizing inside the skull, seeing what's inside the skull. We could have gone over a mile down the road, but it started to pour rain, and I gave up. Now, there's an interesting thing.
And you were still getting a reading.
We're still getting a reading. Now, you have to understand something. When you measure a crystal and its energy field, it has to be measured in a direct level with the crystal or with any stone. If we're doing jasper, rhodochrosite, or anything, mariposite, agates, you have to measure them directly at the level as you would a chakra at the level.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what happened with the crystal skull that was fabulous is that we measured the top and it went up 20, 30 feet in the air. We measured the bottom. It was on the floor. It was to the sides of the skull. It was behind the skull. It was everywhere. It was like a tourmaline where the energy is completely wild. Only here, and the tourmaline is the energy goes in all directions. Here, the skull not only went in every direction, but it was organized, and it was like a wall moving out, not just like an energy field of stream of energy. It was a solid wall moving out against us.
Could you feel it?
Oh, yes.
You could physically feel it.
Oh, sure, and other people felt it, too. That's why you bring other people, because, you know, you can always say, well, you mentally did that. You don't tell them what's going on.
Well, is it energy somewhat like the crystal pyramid that Ho brought here, that you can literally feel the energy flowing off the top of that pyramid?
I could take that piece of crystal there, and by methods that I've learned to use over 50 years, probably increase that to 150 to 200 feet.
Well,
see, and as Ho knows, I shocked him once in up north when he came up for a seminar by taking a little piece of something and giving it to someone. The field jumped from 15 feet or less to hundreds of feet going clearly down the road. It's all a matter of the elements and energy and elements and so forth, but the skull didn't need that. The skull produced its own wall, and I mean, it was a solid wall on all sides and moved out from there. So you have to merge into that wall and become part of it. And I just think it's fabulous. I would like to see somebody like Marcel Vogel or one of the other speakers that are going to be at the thing get some of their equipment and take some accurate measurements. Because we couldn't haul our equipment into Canada, you know, and
go through it all.
And go through it all. But
we've had a number of calls here during the break. Let's give the address again and where people can go in San Francisco to see the Mitchell Hedges Crystal Skull and experience this astounding thing yourself. That's coming up next weekend, I think, isn't it?
Yes, it's at the Cathedral Hill Hotel in San Francisco. And it's on Van Ness Avenue. It's the first International Crystal Congress, June 20th through the 22nd of this year. And there are two phone numbers you can call and get information. Locally, you can call 818-761-0945, or you can call the Bay Area, 415 873-0139, and you get all the information. If you pre-register, you'll save money, and you can pre-register up to June 10th, and then you have to pay a great deal more.
I'm sure there'll be a lot of questions about the skull after tonight. Ho, you're going to be appearing, weren't it, Alexandria, too, tomorrow?
Yes, we're going to be doing an appearance there. We'll have all our crystals. We'll be talking about the crystal conference, because I think this is a very important thing to stress. And Nick hasn't really stressed this yet.
I've been trying to get into it.
I know.
I've been listening to the other stuff, you know.
This particular Crystal Congress is really the very first major gathering of all the people who work in the crystal field. You've got Nick Nocerino there, Marcel Vogel, who most of your listeners know,
yes,
Rob Bonowitz, who's the author of Cosmic Crystals, the Mitchell Hedges Skull will be there, Joel Glick from Healing Stones. There's about 20 other speakers, and it's a three-day, it's Friday night, all day Saturday and Sunday, of lectures and workshops, and this is a very special gathering. So myself and Nick have been talking about it for the last couple of weeks. The number that we gave locally, the 818-761-0945 number, is Heidi Ho, and Dee Dee is there taking phone calls. And if people pre-register with us, because the date is already expired on that discount,
yeah.
But if they pre-register and just mention on their form Heidi Ho, there's an extension, and we can give them that discount. All that information is 818-761-0945.
And what time are you going to be at Alexandria, too?
Now, that is tomorrow. We're going to be there at 3 o'clock. It's a two-hour lecture, and it's only $10. It's a basic class talking about what crystals are, how they can be used, how we've been using them. And the idea is to simply take people who are beginners or people who have a little bit of knowledge and do some experiments and show them what's happening with crystals.
All right. A lot of things are happening with
crystals. There is a daily rate also that we haven't mentioned. For those who want to just go one day, either Saturday or Sunday, and Friday night, there's a rate for Friday night and either Saturday or Sunday, which Heidi Ho can explain, or the Congress can explain if you call the Bay Area.
All right. So they'll get all of that information out. And I might mention, Nick, that we've already scheduled you back on the show on October 11th.
Oh, I hope we get into other things like ghosts and
stuff.
And
we can get into all of
telepathy and
all of your fascinating world. And we're going to get into Dan's question about the time of Christ in just a moment.
Oh,
I'm
good.
Bill Jenkins on Open Mind.
Yeah.
We're talking about that fabulous and astounding crystal skull. Douglas Mayer is here, and we'll be getting to Douglas and his work with Ramtha. Has Ramtha talked about the skulls at all, Douglas?
No, but some of
the... Well, move that microphone over. You might as well, just being that you're here, join in. Yeah, jump right in.
The time correlations that Nick mentioned. Also, Ramtha talked about...
Are we on?
There
we go. Oh, there we are. Here I am. Some of the times that Ramtha talked about correlate with what Nick was saying, especially about 35,000 years ago is when Ramtha puts the Atlantean... deluge. And also Ramtha talks about a war of the God of Lights, which took place a couple million years ago, and out of that war the first planet Melina was destroyed, and then from there Earth came along. So there was a lot of interesting correlations.
Well, we'll be getting into those
correlations. We'll have fun.
All right. That's Douglas Mayer. We're recording the show tonight in Optophonics. That's the first time a radio program has ever been recorded. You're going to get a copy of that. We were listening to the process here during the news break. It's quite fascinating because everything is exactly where it is.
If you have any callers, but you'll be able to hear what went on in here.
Oh, I see. John Bedini is over there working his machine. But if it's behind you, you're going to hear it behind you. If it's in front of you, and top of you, and top of you, and out of speakers, right there. So something new is under the sun. Well, let's go to Dan. I promised we would, Dan, and thank you for waiting on the line so long.
That's okay. Yeah, still here. Hi, Bill. Hi, Nick.
Hi there.
Hi. This is great. What a great topic. I am interested in the times of Christ, and I was wondering if you had any pictures of him walking. Walking around Israel or any other scenes of the times of Christ?
Me?
Nick. Or whoever, you know.
Well, no, I don't, but it's possible that other people do. I followed Christ's path many years ago in the 40s, and supposedly all of the places it was written that he went to, and picked up stones and dirt along the way, which I still have to today.
Mm-hmm.
And what I saw basically were things in my own mind, the memory banks, that related to what we call Christ, or what related to a Messiah, a man that was involved in trying to free his people, as you would want to call it, bring peace and love to the world, and also follow John the Baptist's trail, and rather young, and so forth. So I have a lot of pictures in my head. And it's interesting to note that the skulls did not project these images back to me. This is the one thing that they did not project.
Back to me. So I cannot give you an answer there, but he's absolutely correct in saying that roughly we place it at a minimum of 25,000 years, and that basically somewhere about 37,000 years. Now, we do not put a name on the land. In other words, the names we use are from different geologists and archaeologists who use these words, Gowanda land, Pangura and Langaria, you see, and stuff like that. I don't think it's important that you have a name. I think what's important is that you have a sophisticated society, and the skull and many of the visionaries and channels are picking up societies that existed, and that these societies were sophisticated enough to travel around the sky. Let's take the Mayan. The Mayan never used wheels. Now, I spent a lot of time on the Mayans.
Smart as they were, they never used
wheels. Why would they go around figuring out the stars and the planets and not use wheels, which all their toys had wheels on it. All the children's toys had wheels on it. Why wouldn't they use them for grown-ups? Unless they had a better way of moving around. That's number one. Number two, when the skull was found, how did the Mayans know in Peru, in Mexico, in all of the other countries that the skull was found? How were the Mayans all of a sudden gathering down here at this temple in Lubuntum in Honduras, when there was no way of communicating? There was no radio, there was nothing. And yet they started showing up, and they kept showing up, and they kept showing up, and they kept showing up from every place that you can conceive of. Mayans that hadn't been seen before, you know, were showing up. Where were they coming from? How was the message getting out? So when I think in terms of Christ, I think in Christ as one of the mysteries of life. And
so is the skull, apparently.
Well, the skull is also a mystery in life.
Yeah.
But I think it's possible that if Christ did exist, that he came from one of our sophisticated societies. And he had the ability that many of us have, because in reading, I have about 57 Bibles and testaments in every nation from nearly every country in the world in different languages that I've read and looked at. And I would say that he said in all of them that what I do, you can do it more. That's about the best I can give you an answer there.
And thank you. And a quick second question. I think it was the first hour, one of the callers, and he asked a question. You talked about the future, and you said that you had a beautiful kind of paradise that you saw, where people were getting along with one another, and there was love flowing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And my question is, you said there was an interaction with the heavens. What did that look like?
Well, I happen to get a lot of stuff from NASA slides and pictures and stuff. And we have a show that we don't show to many people, which we use the heaven slides from, that fit into what we see.
We think we see on the skull, and we show all
of these slides with him. It looks like the universe. It looks like somebody better take a look at the North Pole and the South Pole and find out what's really there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's the best way of answering your question without getting involved.
There's a lot of things going on there. Okay, Dan?
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank
okay,
you for being with us. We're 25 minutes past 10 on this Saturday night. Nick Nicerino is with us, and we're hearing one of the most astounding stories, true stories, we've had on this show since its inception in 1979, the story of the Crystal Skull. You hang in there now. Dino, is it with me? We're talking about the Crystal Skull. Also, Douglas, is it Mayor?
Marr.
Douglas Marr is here. We're going to talk about Ramtha.
Indeed.
And you can just start getting in here and
all right.
adding
I wish you would.
He's, add a little Ramtha ease to the skull here, because there seems to be some correlation of what the skull is telling us and what this marvelous clairvoyant Ramtha is telling us.
Ramtha, one time, we were talking about how he reads people and how he reads people's souls. Basically, he reads the light. He said he goes out and catches the light, goes out into the universe. And I couldn't help but think when you're receiving this feedback from the crystal that there is a catching of the light
Definitely.
Aspect.
Definitely.
As the scientists are beginning to discover now, we are light beings. We are not just made of mass, just the body. We are actually beings of light. And as that light lowers in vibration, the mass actually forms itself. So from what I'm hearing, it sounds like the crystal skull is allowing these people to actually raise their vibrations to a higher place.
I think so.
And able to actually catch that light and then focus in on it. Also, the ability of it to give us the history lessons is real interesting.
It's just fascinating to me with something like this that is unfolding before us, that there hasn't been an enormous concerted effort using the greatest levels of technology we have to find out what we can find out.
There never is, Bill. Number one, most scientists are afraid to attach themselves to anything metaphysical in any sense, and this is considered quite occult and pagan. It doesn't matter how sophisticated it is. But I was reading an article sent to me the other day, a doctor, Born Norenbaum, or whatever his name is, developed a new science. I don't know if you're aware of it, and this happens all the time. A new science. You know what the new science is?
I have no idea.
He discovered that the body is composed of electrical impulses and magnetic impulses, and that if you use these impulses, you know, that you can correct diseases and people can heal themselves and also do all kinds of... Now, isn't it amazing that we've been teaching this? I have been teaching for 50 years. Now, this new science is being developed, and recently someone developed a new science whereby you can do remote vision, and you could actually look into some place, you know, that's quite a distance away. And it's funny that we've been doing this, and the ancients have been doing it for thousands of years.
Right.
And then we have dermal optics, which is nothing but psychometry, where we've been training blind people to see through their nose, through their hands, through their smell, taste, and all of that. And they now have a science called dermal optics. And isn't it interesting, people develop? And see, if you change the name and call it a new science, then it becomes acceptable. Now, how do you how do you make Buddha acceptable? How do you make Krishna acceptable? How do you make Christ acceptable? How do you make God acceptable?
Well, how do you call the crystal skull something metaphysical when the fact of the matter is that you look at it and all of these pictures play out of it, even ones from your own mind? There's nothing metaphysical about that. That's very factual.
That's
data. That's true. That's scientific.
That's true.
And how are the photographs that are been taken of the skull changing from day to day? Now, Kodak can't explain what's happening to their film when it happens.
They don't venture to. No photo people do. They just tell me we got a lousy picture. And
yeah, it changes every day.
You know, we took pictures that have writing in them of a room, and we took them to some photo labs. Because the magazine would not publish them because they said they were phonies. So we gave them the negatives, and they run through computers, and they find out whether they're real or not. Okay. So the writing starts to change, and now they develop the pictures again. Now the writing is different. And so they decide to run the pictures again. Of course, now the writing is completely different again. Pretty soon, the whole picture has changed. And I asked them, there were seven of them, three of them representing national syndicated press, and the others representing universities. And I said, well, what do you think? Are they phony or not? And they said, we don't know how you did it, but it's impossible. See, in other words, take Paso Robles. The refrigerator moved across the room. Four scientists sat there, watched the refrigerator rise up off the floor, 1 foot, move across the room and go down. And they looked over and they said, how did you do that? I said, how did you do what? He said, well, it's impossible for it to happen, so you must have hallucinated it.
Well, go over there and hallucinate, touch it, where it got moved to.
Some people just don't want to believe what they see. Just like if you were in India or you were in some parts of the China and Africa I've been in where thousands of bodies are lying all over the place and people are starving or people have been slaughtered, someone else comes along and doesn't see it. He says, what seems to be the problem? Well, why are you getting excited?
Yeah.
You see, some people will not accept reality unless it's reality that only they understand or they want to put into their pragmatic level, if you want to put it that way.
We call it a reality box.
So the skull is very real. All the skulls are real. The phenomena is very real. We're not sure we understand it, no more than we understand what your friend here is doing. Somewhere, it may have been understood 10,000 years ago or 25,000 years ago, and that scares the hell out of a lot of people because they don't want to believe anybody was around that was any smarter than them at that time, no more than they want to believe that there are people out there somewhere in the universe that might be as intelligent or more intelligent than us.
Yeah, they have trouble with
I'm not bawling your audience out, I'm just talking.
They have trouble with the fact that the pyramids are there. And we can't build one now if you were to give a construction company unlimited funds.
I can tell you stories about the pyramids you wouldn't believe.
I imagine.
But the most amazing thing to me about the pyramids is that we still tell people they were built as tombs for the pharaohs. It's still in every encyclopedia and
dictionary. They were storage houses, generating houses.
Yeah, they weren't really tombs. I mean, that's gone a little bit far.
No, but even as we know that they weren't tombs, we still tell children that. Mm-hmm. We still keep that idea going.
Well, it's sort of an ethic that we live in, and I'm glad that we have an opportunity on a show like this to break down some of the doors and perhaps get some people to think.
Absolutely.
We have a number of people in the scientific community that listen to this show.
I think God should bless the fact that there is a show.
Yes, we've been very fortunate so far. And I'd like to know how, from our members of the scientific community, how those photographs can...